Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Two subjects for today's show. First, a discussion on the OB-AMA healthcare program. The OB-AMA healthcare program. What is the OB-AMA? Oh, that's where many are killed and a few are dozen. I guess so. The OB-AMA healthcare program, and then also on our successful missile defense test yesterday. I love this stuff. I used to work for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company on the Army's Apache attack helicopter, the AH-64, with its Hellfire missiles and its forward-looking FLIR. It's just, you know, great technology for killing bad guys. In fact, in the Iraq War, the first Iraq War under George Bush Sr., if you recall, it was it eight Apaches that went in first, low to the ground, right to Baghdad, and took out a good chunk of their air defense communication systems. That was Apache helicopters starting off the Gulf. We had Operation Desert Shield, right? And then Operation Desert Storm. So it was the Apaches that kicked off Operation Desert Storm. By the way, and we're going to get to the OB-AMA healthcare program. And I want to talk about our successful missile defense test last night. But I just have to take a rabbit's trail here, having to do with theology and the Bible. Because back when we had Desert Shield, Operation Desert Shield, and Operation Desert Storm. Remember, we transitioned from one to the other? Our guys were dug in the desert, along the border of Iraq and Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, but they were told, don't go in, just dig in, but don't cross the border. And then General Norman Schwarzkopf gave the command, charge! And there's a theological lesson here, because what if there was some soldier and he said, oh, no, 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 you're not going to trick me. I know my orders. My orders are to dig in. Here I am in this foxhole, and I'm not going to cross that border because I was told you don't cross the border. And the general is saying, charge, go, fight. And he said, oh, no, 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 you're not going to trick me. I'm staying right here. Well, that would be a bit of a dolt of a soldier, right? Do you realize how easy it is to be a theological dolt? When God in the Bible gives commands, he gave different commands to different groups of people at different times. And some people will see some commands in the Bible and they say, I am going to obey this command. And God says, yeah, but now I've given another command. This command supersedes that command. And they say, oh, no, no, you're not going to trick me. Oh, no, no, I'm sticking with that other command. And so it's easy to be a theological dolt. Is that a word, adult? And so we need to be with God on the same page he is on. And that is one of the themes of the plot. That's My Life's Work, a book on the overview of the Bible, making sure that we recognize God's house rules. God has house rules. If you go to someone's home and they have a pool table and you play eight ball, it doesn't matter what you think the rules are. You got to find out what are the house rules. And so that's the theme, really, of my life's work, the plot. An overview of the whole Bible. The overview is the key to the details. You learn the overview, and you see when God changes the rules, and then you understand why he changed the rules, and what are the current rules. It does no good to throw a temper tantrum and say, I'm keeping the rules, when God says, well, don't you know that I changed that about 2,900 years ago? I changed that particular rule. You're like, oh, you're not going to trick me, Lord. I know. I know. I read it right there. I read it in Leviticus. You're not going to trick me. So our successful missile test last night. Oh, and by the way, if you think that's just weird, what we just did for the last 4 minutes on the air, it's biblical. Jesus would tell a new story, and then he would draw a moral or a theological principle from it. The Lord was the first talk show host. He would tell a current event story, like the tower in Siloam in Jerusalem fell, and it killed 18 people. The Lord told that story. We wouldn't know about it if the Lord didn't tell the story. And they just found the Pool of Siloam just a few years ago in Jerusalem, excavated it. And so then he would draw some analogy or a moral or a biblical lesson from that story. This is a teaching opportunity. So last night we had this successful missile defense in the waters off of Hawaii. Remember, our producer, Will Duffy, went to Hawaii right when North Korea was supposed to bomb Honolulu. And Kim Jong-il found out Will was there, decided to postpone his attack. But North Korea is especially irked that we had yet another successful missile defense test. And it is so cool, and I just love the technology. Because I have a bit of a technology background. I worked for Microsoft for a while, software engineer, worked for the phone company for 3 years, senior business consultant, systems analyst. And I wrote for PC Week for a couple years. But then my favorite job was working for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company on the Apache. And some of these technical challenges are extraordinary. Missile defense, it's the equivalent of hitting a bullet with a bullet. So imagine somebody shoots at you with a rifle from a mile and a half away, and you got to shoot back with a rifle and hit the bullet in the air. That's the equivalent technical challenge. And we're doing it. And remember how the liberals just hated it? The liberals hated it. And we realized here at Bob and Your Live many years ago that the Republicans were selling this program incorrectly. If they wanted to sell it to the liberals, they should not have talked about people at all, that this is a missile shield, this will protect the people. Big mistake. The liberals are not interested in protecting people. They want to protect the whales. They want to protect bugs. And so what we should have been saying all along is that few endangered species could survive a direct nuclear hit. And then the liberals would have all signed up. We should have told them that exploding a nuke in Boston will violate the clean air policy. And they'd end up paying for our missile defense shield out of the EPA's own budget. Liberals care more about the spotted owl than about the American family. So we just got to sell it right. That's it. We tell them that the missile shield will help keep the planet green. And not only that, it can reduce global warming. Could you imagine the effect of global warming from a nuclear strike? Could you imagine how that would affect it? Stephen Hawking, he wants us to go to the moon and Mars because of global warming. You remember that? He forgets it's 200 degrees on the moon and there's no water. And why couldn't we go to Antarctica instead, or maybe Greenland? Why to go to the moon? And could you imagine the effect on global warming of all those launches of spacecraft to get to the moon and Mars? I mean, these people aren't just blithering idiots. But so we've been selling it wrong. We got to tell them that this missile defense shield can help reduce global warming. It'll help fill the ozone hole, and it will save trees. You know, hey, if cannabis can do all that, surely a missile defense shield could too. And so, but the liberals said for years, the Democrats, liberals, they said, oh, it can't be done anyway. It just can't be done. Well, then why did the communist get so angry at the thought of America building a missile defense shield? If it couldn't be done. So it turned out that these communists had more faith in America than do the Democrats. But that's obvious. And by the way, if you're a new listener to Bob and Yurt Live, when I put down the Democrats, don't assume that I'm putting up the Republicans. One mass murderer is not better than another. My mass murderer is not better than your mass murderer. In fact, if I have a mass murderer, he's worse than your mass murderer. So, Bush, the second, Bush Light, he may have been half the leader that Ronald Reagan was, but we had twice the technology that Reagan had. And so, it's working. The missile defense shield is working, and that's pretty cool. Now, liberals will complain. They'll say, well, it's ridiculous to have a missile defense shield because the attack might come via a ship. That's a good point, right? Isn't that a good point? North Korea could put a nuke into a ship and bring it to Long Beach, California, and explode it. That's a good point. I mean, it's true. A nuclear weapon, if Al-Qaeda got a nuke, they'd probably want to put it in a ship, maybe in a cruise ship, and bring it right into New York's harbor and then launch it. So, yeah, they might want to do that. But, you know, if you have a house in a floodplain, does that mean that you don't need a smoke detector? You have a home in a floodplain. So somebody says, what's the sense of having a smoke detector? Do you know you could just have a flood? And you think, oh, yeah, good point. I could have a flood. I don't need a smoke detector. So liberals have a difficult time thinking. You don't run away from multiple threats. You deal with them. And so liberals said, oh, well, we have a treaty. We have an ABM treaty. Remember that, the anti-ballistic missile treaty? We have this treaty with the Soviet Union, and it says that we will not build anti-ballistic missile technology. We won't invent it. We won't implement it. I think we were allowed to tinker with it, but not implement it, not deploy it. And so liberals, still, they say we're violating the ABM treaty, and that cracks me up. Because what if there was a treaty with the Roman Empire? Is it still valid? Is it still valid if Palestine said that we will give one shekel per year for every citizen who lives in Judea to Caesar? So then the Palestinians who live in Israel, you know, the Israeli Arabs, do they have to remit a shekel a year to the Roman Empire? Well, the Roman Empire doesn't exist. And so the ABM treaty is no longer valid, because that treaty moved from the courthouse to the museum a long time ago when the Soviet Union fell apart. It disbanded. It doesn't exist any longer. So the Soviet Union doesn't exist any longer. So liberals who say that we'd be violating our ABM treaty, they're just showing how silly they are and how immature. You know, being able to think straight is a function of morality. Did you know that? A function of morality. Because when you're immoral, you tend to try to justify yourself. Being able to think straight is a function of spirituality. Because when you love God and honor him, and as you get to know him, you're able to think straight, because when you're in rebellion against God, you try to justify your part in the long war against God. And so then you don't think straight, and liberals can't think straight, and liberal Christians have a hard time thinking straight. So, no, the ABM treaty is nothing we need to worry about. And we could go on with even some conservatives that wanted to get away from, if you recall, mutually assured destruction. MAD, MAD, they call it. But, you know, liberals, you would think that liberals would like mutually assured destruction because they're inherently annihilistic. Liberals like to destroy what exists so they could build something new, as a general rule. They don't mind dismantling the family. They sort of like that idea because they want to build a new family in their own image. And they don't mind dismantling the church. They sort of like that. And they don't mind undermining authority in general. They have these bumper stickers, question authority. And what they really mean by that is, if it feels good, do it. Do whatever you want to do. And so liberals are generally annihilistic, whereas Judeo-Christianity looks to eternal paradise. That's what we look to, eternal life with our Creator God. But liberals, what do they say? When you're dead, you're dead. And there's a corollary to that. They say when you're dead, you're dead. And also, the earth generally would be better off without you. You're just a carbon footprint. You're just a useless eater. You're taking up space. You're breathing oxygen. The earth would be better off without people anyway. So I don't really understand why liberals have not been more supportive of mutually assured destruction. They're comfortable with MAD in other areas of consideration. And as a result, by the way, because liberals are comfortable with the ideas like there's no such thing as truth, there are no absolutes, you cannot know anything absolutely. And we ask them, they say, there's no such thing as truth. And we say, is that true? And they throw a hissy fit. They said, there's no such thing as truth. And you say, is that true? And they get all upset. They say, there are no absolutes. And you say, absolutely. And they get all upset. And they say, you can only know that which your five senses tell you. And we say, well, which of your five senses told you that? What, did you lick it? And they say, well, you can't know anything absolutely. And we say, well, do you know that? Absolutely. And just, I mean, they're self-contradictory. With every other step, they're contradicting themselves. And so liberals are disqualified from having their opinions taken seriously. And I'll give you one example. Bill and Hillary Clinton's pastor from Washington, D.C., who ended up in Denver because he was the interim president of Iliff School of Theology. We went there and had a discussion with him, Dr. Philip Wagaman, that's who it is. At Iliff Seminary, there was a small lunch, about maybe 15 people, and it was with the president at DU, University of Denver, where their number one most popular course is Remedial English. They have a school of theology called ILIF. And he was having this lunch. And so I went, and a few of my friends, Flip Benham, Reverend Flip Benham, he went, a couple others. And we got into a discussion about abortion. And I asked him, what if the embryo, the baby in the womb, what if that baby was self-aware? What if it was self-aware? And he said, well, then the pro-lifers would be right. And that was pretty significant, I thought. That was a bit of humility in Philip Wagaman, because his claim is that the baby is not self-aware and therefore you can kill it. And so I asked Philip Wagaman, I said, well, that grand piano there in the corner of the room that we're in, is that piano self-aware? And this is in front of 15 people, staff members of ILIF and so on. And he said, I don't know. I said, you don't know. You're the president of ILIF Theological Seminary. You don't know if the piano is self-aware. He said, I don't know. I said, well, then, Mr. Wagaman, you just disqualified yourself from being taken seriously in the arena of public policy and the battle of ideas regarding whether or not abortion should be legal or criminal, because you throw intellectual tantrums when people so easily undermine your beliefs. You don't know if a piece of wood is self-aware. So if the baby in the womb is self-aware, by the way, latest study out of the Netherlands reported by ABC News, a baby in the womb, once the baby's hearing system is working, I remember 25 years ago teaching in a Bible study that the baby's hearing starts to be functional in the seventh month. Now, I don't know that that's true. I haven't looked into it since, but that was based on a report 25, 30 years ago that I had seen. But this study just out is that babies around 30 weeks or so, babies not only respond to sounds, but they can remember sounds. And they did just this ingenious study of 100 babies in the womb. And they not only can respond to sound, meaning they hear sound, of course, right, as their auditory canals are beginning to function and all, but they could remember sounds. And with each passing day, their memory becomes more effective, so that babies toward the end of the pregnancy could remember sounds for a month. And I've been saying for all these years that an unborn baby knows his or her mother's voice, and when the mom sings to the baby learns the song, learns the melody. And the baby could end up liking the song when he's still a baby in the womb. I remember saying that for years. If you listen to the show, you've heard me say that occasionally. And so this brand new study out of the Netherlands says, do you know a baby can hear and learn a song? And the article, the news report from ABC News, has a woman who's pregnant. And when she was in her mother's womb, her mother had a favorite song by whatever group, Aerosmith or somebody, Angel something or other. And the mother would play that song and sing it. And so the baby, her baby in the womb, who's now an adult woman who's pregnant, she learned that song in the womb. And when, as an infant, she would become upset and start crying, her mother would play that song and her little daughter would immediately calm down. Immediately. Why? Because the daughter felt like she's back in the womb. How comfortable, how warm, how loving, how safe. The womb should be the safest place in the world for a child, but it has become the most dangerous place for a boy or a girl because they are slaughtered by Planned Parenthood. Literally, their legs are ripped off their bodies, and their arms are ripped off. And George Tiller would put a knife in the back of their heads as he pulled them out of the body, their mother's body, feet first, breech. And Warren Hearn from Boulder, Colorado, the Boulder Abortion Clinic, how he slaughters these children and late-term children and by the thousands. So the womb should be the safest place in the world. And these babies, they learn their mother's voice, and they even could learn songs in the womb. And we slaughter them for money. And so Philip Wagaman, Bill and Hillary Clinton's pastor of the Foundry United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C. By the way, same church that George W. Bush goes to. Right? He's a United Methodist. His church supports homosexuals. That's how we found out when he announced he was running for president that he would be a bad president and promote homosexuality. We just checked with his church here at Bob and Yurt Live. That's what we did. But anyway, so liberals, they're not qualified to be taken seriously. So I'm just thrilled. I'm thankful that our military had a successful missile defense test yesterday in the sea off of Hawaii. Congratulations, guys. And then we have the OB-AMA healthcare program. That's the OB-AMA healthcare program, right? Well, you've got OBGYNs. Does this cover? This covers birth, right? Cradle to grave. It's cradle to grave. Only you're lucky if you make it into the cradle. And if you do make it into the cradle, you could expect the grave earlier rather than later. That's the OBAMA healthcare bill, where many are killed and a few are dozing. And this bill, you know, they say it's 1,000 pages long. Well, if you just look at the first 100 pages, turns out page 29, your health care is rationed. Page 30, there will be a government committee that will decide what treatments and benefits you will get. The Health Choices Commissioner will choose your benefits for you. You don't get to choose. Healthcare will be provided to all non-U.S. citizens, illegal or otherwise. It's pretty interesting. There's a payoff in the plan for retirees of unions and community organizations like ACORN. You know, some unions might not like this, but there's a payoff. Of course, you expect that, right? That's page 65. Page 72. The government plans to bring private health care plans under government control. That's page 72. So the whole thing, it's 1,000 pages long. It's 1,000 pages long, and really, it's far more interesting to talk about missile defense. So that's in the first 100 pages, and it just gets better and better. So it's so much easier when we love God and obey him. And God said, thou shalt not steal. That means they cannot take money from your neighbors and give it to you for your dental care. It's not right. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school.